Put your trust in God, for I will yet give thanks to him who is the help of my countenance and of my God. In our first reading today, we hear about how the prophet Elijah, hearing about the deaths of the other prophets and being threatened by Jezebel, runs out into the wilderness and hides. And he's there for days upon days. And sometimes it's easy to understand where Elijah is at that moment. That there are those times in which you think to yourself, instead of dealing with all the various, things that are going on in the world, how much easier to just go to find a cave somewhere. To just go hide out. Now this last week we heard about the terrible shootings in Orlando, Florida. It was the largest mass shooting in our country. 49 people were killed and numerous people injured. And along with that, you hear about other acts of violence throughout. A good friend of mine who's a priest in Chicago had four people, young people, that were just, killed on his own block. And sometimes it's easy to lose heart when you hear that. When you hear story after story of violence and hatred and people acting out so insanely, and you really understand why Elijah wanted to just go hide in his cave. Now in our first reading, though, after he was there for a while, the voice of God came to him and asked him why he was there, and he said that basically his life was in danger, and he, even begged God to just either, to take it. And instead, God tells him to wait on the hill because he's going to be passing by. And we hear that at first there's this great wind that's blowing and ripping, tearing things apart. But we find out that God isn't in this big, majestic, horrible wind. Then a giant earthquake comes and shakes everything up and destroys things. But God isn't there either. Then a terrible fire sweeps through. And still, God isn't within the fire. But then there is this time of sheer silence. And then Elijah hears God's voice. As I said, we are in a time where we have another horrible event happening. But sometimes it's hard to hear God's voice in the midst of all the cacophony that's going on and all the shouting and all the yelling and protests. And then you hear about Greg Zanis. Greg Zanis is a man who lives in Illinois. And he showed up in Orlando this week with 49 white crosses that he made by hand in his cross and in the back of his pickup. Drove some 1,200 miles to bring these crosses. And he brought a handful of magic markers so people could come and write messages of hope to those who had died, to their families, little messages of hope, so that he could give these crosses to their family members as something to remember. And the thing is Mr. Zanis has been doing this for quite a while. When we had the Sandy Hook shooting, he made a cross bearing all the names of the children and the teachers. And he's been doing this for 20 years, making these things all by himself and driving to all over the country. And this was because he knows where these people are going from. Some 20 years ago, his own father-in-law was murdered. And as he said, I'm just, you know, trying to offer hope in a hopeless situation. Instead of being beaten down, he's trying to at least give some hope to those who are out there, who are mourning, who are hurt, who are confused, who are devastated. In the same way, Jesus offered hope in a hopeless situation today. In our gospel, we hear about the man who's possessed by demons. Not just one, not two, but he calls it legion. You know, a legion was, you know, what the Romans called 1,000 soldiers. And we're told that this man for a long time had been running around naked and living in the tombs. And anytime they've tried to restrain him, he's broken chains and other bonds. And Jesus came and brought hope to a hopeless situation. Where others had probably just written him off and tried to just keep out of his way, Jesus came to him. And we're told that after he sends the demons away, you know, there's all that scene with all the pigs running off to the ocean. But after he sends the demons away, after he heals the man, after the village comes to see what was going on, they find the man at Jesus' feet, cleaned and clothed and in his right mind, and listening to what Jesus was teaching. He took a hopeless man and gave him hope. And the odd thing was that people feared Jesus more for doing this than they feared the man who was full of demons. And so they asked Jesus to go away, and instead of, you know, staying in a place where he wasn't welcome, Jesus goes back to the boat so he can sail back home to Galilee. But he has the man wanting to go with him. But instead he tells the man to take what he has learned, to take his own story of grace and healing, and what he had heard Jesus teaching, and bring it out to the world around him. And so the man who was without hope began that day going from village to village, proclaiming Jesus' good news about hope to others. Now, like that man who we read about in the gospel, and like Greg Zanis, who has made all those crosses throughout these years, we too are called to go out in the world and offer a message of hope, to comfort those who are most in need, to allow others to know that we have not been abandoned. And sometimes that's very difficult. Because it means going outside of ourselves and taking a risk. But I think about all of us who are sitting here today, are sitting here because somebody took a risk at some time in our lives and told us about the good news, taught us about Christ, offered us this wonderful way of life. And so, like the former demoniac, like the man from Illinois, we follow that same path of Jesus, proclaiming the good news, telling the story of our own grace, teaching others that even though it looks hopeless, God is always there. He's not always there, it seems, in the big way, like we've learned with Elijah, where, you know, the wind and the hurricane, but often there in the silence. The thing is being able to stop and to listen, to open our own hearts, to allow others to see what's even in our hearts. So my brothers and sisters, again, our job is to bring hope to a hopeless situation, to realize that no matter how much darkness is in the world, the light of Christ will not go out. It may seem dim at times, but it never goes out. It's up to us to fan that flame, to carry it, to share it. So, my brothers and sisters, be a sign of God's hope. Be like Christ through this broken world. Leave others know they are never alone.